Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37, just going to use that as a kicking off point. I've been looking at this thought about delighting in the Lord as our theme talks about this year. Delighting, finding great pleasure in different things. This morning we like to look at finding great pleasure or delighting in His care. Delighting in His care. Someone said, because of my coughing affects my voice, does that mean we're going to have a shorter message today? And I said, you wish. So we'll see how it all works out. We let the Lord lead and guide on that. Sometimes we cut the message shorter. Sometimes the Lord leads us to cut it, make it a little bit longer. But I know the Lord brought us here to this passage of Scripture. And from here, we're going to go to Psalms chapter number 23. Psalms chapter 37 to begin with. I want you to just look at a couple different verses in here. Both Psalms are written by David. And we see the care that God gives us. And David, I think, really truly understood that. And when David penned the words found in Psalms chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I really truly believe he, at that point in time, was an older man. No one really knows if he was a younger boy as a shepherd writing those as he was watching the sheep or watching his father's sheep, or whether or not it was as an older king. But the wisdom that's found in those in that psalm is something that we're going to begin a series on in Psalms chapter 23. I know a number of years ago, I tried to find out how long ago it was, but I couldn't find it in my records. A number of years ago, we looked at Psalms 23. We're going to look at that a little bit. We're going to look at it this morning, also going to look at it tonight. I'm thinking it's going to take a little bit longer than just those two messages, but I like to look about delighting in His care. And one same thing we've been learning about, you know, delighting in instructions last week. You know, it's not just that we're supposed to follow it, it's we're supposed to delight in it because He knows what's best. His instructions, His directions, they're superior. And then we also consider the thought when it talked about delighting in His presence. It's not just the fact that we are, you know, God's here, God's watching, we're supposed to behave because God's watching. We can delight in His the presence because we know He is watching. And we know He cares for us and He loves us. And He wants what's best for us. And He's the one that's in charge. If He's watching everything we do, then man, what do we have to worry about? We can delight in those facts. And we can live a life according to those facts and the supremacy He has and His instructions He gives us. So let's go ahead and look in just a few verses here. Verse number 7 in Psalms 37 is one of my favorite verses. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That word rest is something that many of us do not understand or get. I know that we're talking about rest, we're talking about sleep, but this is talking about a soul's rest and resting in God. We can rest in Him, we can relax in Him, we can find favor in Him, we can be what God wants us to be when we understand who He is. And that's where you get to Psalms chapter 23. There's so much about Him leading us in the right paths, Him making us lie beside the still waters and different things like that. And rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He's saying, look, you can find your rest, your comfort, relaxation in God. You can be exactly what God wants you to be and not have to worry about anything else because God can take care of the rest. Look also over in verse number 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. If you go to Proverbs, it shows you that, you know, a little with the righteous is so much better than the great riches with the wicked. Look what it says also in verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. What is that saying? God knows how to take care of us. And so with those thoughts and understanding that God cares for us, let's go ahead and go to Psalms chapter 23. And Psalms chapter 23 is probably one of the most famous passages of scriptures, probably one of the most beautiful passages of any type of literary art. Number one is God inspired. But I want you to think about David here, and as I believe as an older king, looking back upon his life, he is delighting and finding pleasure in this thought, the Lord is my shepherd. In my mind, he's even almost boasting, the Lord's my shepherd, and I shall not want. So let's go ahead and let's read this all together, and all six verses, and let's go ahead and read it as a church congregation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when we look at this passage of Scripture, man, it's amazing. So you begin with, the Lord is my shepherd. And we're going to look at that phrase this morning, and also the phrase, if we have time, I shall not want. But before we get to that, let's look at some of the ways he takes care of us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He puts us in the good spots. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. You see where he's leading you. God cares for us. He takes us to the best places. He takes us, as we see, in places that restore us. Why does he do this? You see this at the end of verse number 3. For his name's sake. He's God. He's taking care of us. He's going to take care of us. And he's never going to do anything because his name is on us. Verse number 4. Even at some of the most tragic moments and times in our life, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And when I consider that, I think we're always walking in that shadow of death. No one knows when death will come. But even when we are in the presence of death and knowing that death is certain or death is near, we have nothing to fear. Why is this? I will fear no evil. And look at that next phrase, for thou art with me. If we'll understand that and grab a hold of that and realize that God is with us, we have nothing to fear. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He cares for us. He gives us what we need to comfort us, even in the darkest moments of our life. Then he begins to show, not only does he comfort us during the hard times, he shows us that he can even prepare for us in the presence of our enemies. Look what it says. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And even when the enemies are there and the enemies are watching, God still provides and he prepares what he desires for us to have. And then he says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. We are special with the oil that he has anointed us with, and our cup runs over as a reference of joy. We can have joy. And then the last verse, maybe my favorite out of all the verses, surely goodness and mercy. For certain, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why is that? It's because the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is our shepherd and we're allowing him to lead us and guide us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, did goodness and mercy follow David all the days of his life? And Saul was chasing him. He went through a lot of hardships, even with his son Absalom. But he's writing this psalm, and he's saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then that last phrase, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You think about John chapter 14 when Jesus talks about how he has gone to prepare those mansions. He was telling the disciples, I go to prepare a place. You know, all those wonderful and great things is, you know what? We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's something we can always remember and we can always hold on to and cling to, because God has promised us he will take care of us. And that's what the Bible says. We can delight in the Lord. And one of the things we can delight in, one of the things we can find great pleasure in, is this idea of his care. So I think David, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I think he is saying this in a way of delight. He reminds him, he remembers all the things that God has done for him. He remembers how God has kept him safe and how God has led him and guided him. He's remembered when he was being chased by Saul, and he did everything the Lord wanted him to do, and God protected him, despite the fact no one else would have been protected that way. No one could have kept him away from Saul except for God. Even in times with Absalom, when Absalom, his son, was trying to overcome the kingdom, David was running for his life, he's still praising God. He's still putting God and saying, God, you're leading me, you're guiding me. And at the end, he's saying, look, the Lord's my shepherd. I don't know who's leading you. I don't know who's guiding you. I don't know who's making the decisions for your life. But if it comes to me, God is going to be my shepherd. So let's look at that phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. The first thing I want you to think about is the first two words, the Lord. The Lord. And sometimes when we look at verses, and we could spend just one day talking about this, or we could spend months, But I want us to think about the Lord himself. David is making this boastful statement saying, I'm proud of the fact that God is my shepherd and that the Lord is my shepherd. So when we think about this, the Lord, who is the Lord? Often our view of him is too small. Often our view of him is too cramped. Often our view of him is too human. We like to make God like the rest of us, and he's not like us. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, and he says, let's think about the Lord. And I even think about some of the Psalms that David wrote. When he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? So what the scripture is saying is there is saying, hey, look, when I consider the heavens, when I consider that God made this, and I consider the works of his fingers, the moon and the stars, if you go out and you look and you consider all the things that are around you, you think about who is David talking about here? He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about God. He's talking about the one who gave us life. He's talking about the one who brought life into this world. Think about what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, when it speaks about how Jesus not only was the creator of the natural things, but also the supernatural. Who is in the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, meaning that he might have the superiority in everything. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That describes what Jesus, he's made all things. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. So that's who David's talking about. That's what David is finding delight in. God is my shepherd. And the word shepherd, we're going to look at in a few minutes, but he, as a shepherd, is a person who took care of his flock. I know we might not like being called sheep, because sheep are known for not being the wisest. The sheep are not known for following directions very well. In all reality, as I was reading, and I've done some research about this shepherd and sheep to look at this passage, it talks about how sheep many times are stupid or unwise, not the smartest animal, and sometimes, most times, very stubborn and very wants to do their own thing and wants to do their own way. And as we go through these verses, we're going to look at that a little bit more and understand that a little bit better. But that's the description that God gives us as humans. You know, all we like sheep have gone astray, and that sometimes we can be stubborn. Can you be stubborn? Are you married to somebody who's stubborn? Is there someone stubborn that lives in your house? Don't raise your hand, because you might be sitting next to them. But that's what sheep are sometimes. They can be. We think that they're just this sweet little animal, and that they're going to just follow you. But many times they had to be herded. But the good shepherd, the great shepherd that the Lord is this understanding. David's getting excited here. He's delighting in this. He's writing this and saying, the Lord. You think about that for a few minutes. Who's guiding your life? David's not speaking as a shepherd here. He's speaking as a sheep. And you remember, where did David come from? He came from the sheep fields. He knows what a shepherd does. He knows that there's a good shepherd. And he knows there's a shepherd who doesn't take care of his sheep. He knows that as a shepherd, they're responsible to protect and to provide. He knows as a shepherd that the sheep needs so much and guidance and needs so much in nourishment and needs so much in care. And David understands that. And David understands how the sheep needed David's protection against the lion, and how the sheep needed David's protection against the bear, and how the sheep needed to be led to the place where they can eat of the green pastures that is talked about there, that there are certain things the sheep could not figure out on their own, but they needed someone to specifically take care of them. They needed somebody to specifically lead them and specifically to guide them. And remember, this is not some moron. This is someone who wrote a good portion of the Bible. obviously underneath the Holy Spirit's inspiration. And he's not someone who can't fend for himself. He's someone who killed Goliath. He's someone who has done many great and mighty things throughout the Word of God. He's dependent upon God. But he's looking back at his life and he's saying, there's something I relish in. There's something I find pleasure in. There's something that I take great joy in saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? Is he leading you? Are you allowing him to? You say, Pastor, I don't need that type of leadership. I don't need that type of guidance. Yes, I need God for the big things. I need God to take care of making these decisions. And when someone is sick, I need to go to God and ask God to take care of them because I can't do that. There are certain things I can do on my own that I don't really need God's help with. The Lord's not your shepherd then. The Lord's like your four-leaf clover then. The Lord's, only there when you need him. No, that's not what David's saying. David has lived this life, and David has been blessed by God, and David has done so many different things in his life, and he's seen God work, and he's seen God move, and he's saying, I recognize something about my life. I need a shepherd. And the one I need to be my shepherd is, it's the Lord. And he is the one who has created all things. He is the one who has done all things. He is the one that owns us in our life, because if he created us, then we are the workmanship of his hands, the Lord. He's my shepherd. So when you think about that, as David begins this, as we begin this series, don't ever forget who he's talking about. He is talking about Jehovah. He's talking about God. He's talking about the one who is worthy of our worship, the one who is worthy of our praise. I belong to him simply because he deliberately chose to make me an object of his affection. A good shepherd is someone who will care for a sheep and someone who loves a sheep. It is clear that God has made us and that God loves us and that God desires what's best for us. And as a good shepherd would take care of a sheep and care for a sheep, the Lord does that. You think about it. I'm bound to him and his ownership to me. If we were created by him, don't we owe something to him? If he is the one that has made us and he's the one that's in charge of us, I don't know about you, but I read verses like that and I remember who the Lord is. It humbles me. It strips me from my pride. It realizes that it is God and God alone that I must trust and need to trust in my life. And that's what the shepherd David is saying about his great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to let people try to tell me what to do, Ahithophel, what others may, like Michael and others people. As king, he had lots of people trying to tell him what he should and should not do, but he says, no, the Lord is my shepherd. I look at my life and I'm going to let the Lord lead me and guide me because he is the one who have made me. He is the one who takes care of me. He's the one who has provided. And if we would go back and we look at our lives and see how God has specifically orchestrated our entire lives, and we recognize that God has brought us to this place and this moment, why do we think that we can take care of ourselves? And that's when David says, the Lord. Second thing I want you to think about, the word my in there. John chapter number 10, Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What a great verse. But then he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Also in verse number 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And then it says in John chapter 10, verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So what I'm saying is David knew God. He had a relationship with him. He let God lead him, not all the times. He understood that when he did things on his own, when he stayed at home instead of going to battle, and he got up on that rooftop, he made a great sin because he wasn't letting the Lord lead him. He wasn't letting the Lord guide him. But he looked back on his life and he says, you know what? When I didn't let the Lord lead me, it put me in a big mess. It put me in trouble. It broke my fellowship with God. My heart was broken. I had to go back to him and I had to humble myself and I had to get things right and I had to get things fixed. It would have been so much easier if I would have just let the Lord be my shepherd. It would have been so much easier if I would have just followed his ways. It would have been so much easier if I would have just let the Lord take care of me. And that's why he says, now, the Lord is my shepherd, because there's been times when I didn't let him lead me. There's been times when I didn't let him guide me, and I see where I messed up. You think about that word, my. Do you know him today? The only way he's going to lead and guide you, the only way he's able to direct you through his Holy Spirit of God, is if he lives in you. Do you know him today? That personal, that possession that the word my has, he's my shepherd. I know he's somebody else's shepherd. And I look at David's story and I says, David, if anybody can say that, you're right. All the things he did for you, all the things he'd been through it, you being a shepherd of those sheep would understand this. And you can personally say that the Lord is my shepherd. David, I understand that. He's your shepherd. But the question is he mine? I know back either as an 8-year-old, 9-year-old boy, there was a time in my life when I called out to God. I saw myself as a sinner and that I needed a Savior. The preacher preached that night and I went forward and I understand that God convicted my heart of my sin and I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. I felt like I was going to go to hell that night if I didn't get saved. And that conviction that was in my heart and someone, I went forward, lady sitting there and says, hey, do you want some help? I said, nope, I know exactly what I need to do because I'd been in church all my life. And I cried out to God and I asked God to save me that day because I knew I was a sinner and in need of a Savior. And that day he became my shepherd. That day I enter into a relationship with him. That day he not just was it my mom's Savior and my dad's Savior and my older brother's Savior and the other people that's your Savior, it became personal to me. Do you know him personally? I'm not just talking about having a book knowledge. I'm not just talking about, hey, I said a prayer a little while ago because somebody told me to. I'm saying that you remember there was a day and time in your life that you asked Christ to save you and he came into your heart and he saved you and that you know that you're on your way to heaven if you die today. You have a relationship with him. He speaks to you. You speak to him. He works in your life. You've seen him move in your life. The Bible talks about how you become his. And that's what David is saying. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know him today? Is he your shepherd? And I know sometimes we don't always follow him. But we know that we have a relationship with God. Do you have that relationship with him today? Now, I'm not trying to get you to question your salvation, but I'm also trying to tell you, hey, look, you better make sure of it. Because, you know, when this world's over and when this world is done, your fate is sealed. Was there a day and a moment in your life when you realized that you're a sinner, God convicted your heart of your sin, and you asked him to save you, that you came through the blood of Jesus Christ? My shepherd. And that next word, the Lord is my, and the next word is shepherd. Shepherd. As I've been doing a little bit of research and studying about this word and what shepherds do, and I am not an expert when it comes to things out there in the world, when it comes to farming and sheeping and cattle herding and crops and all those things. I understand all that. And it's amazing how God uses in different places in the Bible and uses these things as illustrations that so many times people get wrong and so many times people get off key when it comes to certain things. Like when it says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some people take that idea of I shall not want and says, hey, that means I'm going to get to have everything I ever desired. That's not what the Bible means there. That means that we recognize that the Lord, God, is my shepherd. And that if, as I allow him to lead and direct in my life, that he will give me everything I need. He'll give me everything that I need to carry out his purpose in my life, and I will be contented in that. I'll be thankful because I recognize that it's the Lord and that he is my personal shepherd, the one who oversees me, the one that provides for me, the one who protects me, the one who cares for me. And that's what a shepherd does. Those animals, those sheep, they need a lot of constant care. They need a lot of constant help. And that's what David is saying. I have gotten to this point in my life where I understand that I can't take care of myself. I need God's help. That when I do things on my own, when I do things in my own strength, I make a mess of it. But when I learn to allow God to lead me, and when I learn to allow God to take care of me, and when I learn to allow God to direct my paths, I get to a spot where I can be satisfied, and I get to a spot where I can be content. I get to a spot where I can be happy. The Lord is my shepherd. The Bible talks about that word my, talking about, hey, you can't have two masters. You can't have one person leading you and then saying the Lord's leading you too. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and man. And David understood this. There were times when I thought I was serving God and I thought I was doing this, but then I wanted to serve somebody else. And you can't do both at the same time. Is he your shepherd today? Are you allowing Him to lead you and allowing Him to guide you? And one of the ways that you can figure that out is found in that phrase, I shall not want. Part of the problem in the world we live in today, there's so many of us that want. There's so many of us that take ourselves away from letting the shepherd being our Lord and Master. It's a tragic truth when many people who really have never come under the direction and the management of the idea of the Lord is my shepherd, they seem to hope by merely admitting that He is their shepherd that somehow they're going to enjoy His benefits and somehow they're going to enjoy His care and somehow they're going to enjoy His management without paying the price of forfeiting our pride and without paying the price of forfeiting our desires. One cannot have it both ways. Either we're letting God lead us and we're letting God direct us and we come to a spot where we're contented and we're happy and we're satisfied in what God is doing and what God is working, or we're going to allow someone else to lead us and guide us, and all we ever want is something else. All we want is something more. All we want is, I shall not want is so far from our vernacular. I shall not want is so far from what we even could imagine what our lives could be, because we spend our whole life, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. As I was reading one of the shepherd's view, Psalms 23, it talked about a sheep that would always desire something more. They would do whatever they could. They'd go up and down the fence line, and they'd keep on walking up and down the fence line, looking for that little loophole, looking for that little spot where it could get out, because they thought something was better on the other side. They thought something was, and they kept on going back and forth, looking for that moment, desiring something different, desiring something that they did not have, desiring something they did not need. They weren't happy with their shepherd. They weren't thankful for what the shepherd provided. That shepherd had talked about how he loved the sheep, how he took care of the sheep, how he provided good grass, and how he provided good protection, and how he provided good whatever they needed. But that sheep just kept on walking up and back and forth, looking for its way out, because they were not satisfied with what the shepherd was providing for them. And David comes to the spot in his life, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He looked back and he had been part of so many different things. He had experienced so many different things. He had pleasures and he had victories in war. He had times and opportunities where he was the high man on the mountain and different times when he was a low man. And he looked back in his life and he says, I can say this, that the Lord is my shepherd. And if the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to want. I'm going to be happy and satisfied. Now, this idea of wanting is not just talking about the idea of needing something. It's not lacking something. It's not talking about being deficient. It's the idea that I'm contented in the good shepherd's care, and I'm constantly not craving or desiring anything else. Are you happy in the Lord today? This is something that we struggle with, something I struggle with, wanting something else. Wanting something more, wanting something different, when the Lord, our good shepherd, our great shepherd, has provided everything we needed. This morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Are you letting Him lead you today? One of the ways to tell that is whether or not you're content. The Apostle Paul talked about how he had been full and how he had hungered, but he found contentment. He said, in whatsoever state, he was contented. He was happy and satisfied that if the shepherd's going to lead me through here, if the shepherd's going to take me here, you know what? I can be satisfied in what the shepherd's given me, because I'm not my own shepherd, and my mate's not my shepherd, and even my parents are not my shepherd, my pastor. Now, all those things, sometimes God gives us authorities and they're under shepherd. That's what the pastor's role is called. It's an under shepherd, and they help lead and guide. But first and foremost in my life, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to let the TV direct me. I'm not going to let other people direct me, because God has directed me and I've allowed the Lord to be my shepherd. Then I'm going to be satisfied with wherever He takes me. Does it mean it's going to be hardships? David saw some hardships that we would never understand. He said goodbye to people that he loved, even sometimes people who died because of what he did. Heartbroken, different times, own son comes up and be rebellious. As we looked at David saying on his deathbed last week and telling Solomon some of the things, the charges he gave to Solomon, he's saying, show thyself a man. He's saying, you know, follow the commandments of the Lord, walk in those ways. He's saying all those different things. But he also, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I've come to this moment in this spot that if I let God lead me, I can be satisfied where God has brought me. But so many of us, sir, if I just had this, I'd be happy. If I could just do this, then I'd be satisfied. How many of us have learned that when we get the one thing that we want something else? How many of us have learned if I'd just be happy if I could just have this one more thing, that one more thing never satisfied? In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about how the person who desires silver will never be satisfied. A person who desires gold will never be satisfied. But the person who desires God, we can be contented. This morning, the Lord is God. He won't lead you astray. He is not just the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. The Bible talks about how he came into this world to give us life and life more abundantly. The thief who we allow directs us sometime. The thief cometh not to, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. There are so many people that will sit there and say, I just wish I had something a little bit more. I wish I could follow a different direction. The devil is a hard taskmaster. Sin is a very hard taskmaster. But the Lord, he's the good shepherd. And in your lives, if you would just contemplate a little bit where God's led you and guided you, where he took you from. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, if he's your good shepherd, then you see that he took you off that path to hell and he's put you on another path. And the days and moments that you have followed him are the days and moments that you've been taken care of. Maybe not everything turned out the way you thought they would. Maybe not everything has turned out the way you thought they should. But God has taken care of you over the years. And as you followed him, he's always been faithful. He's always been true. But there are times when we've gone off that path. No, always on the way to heaven. He's a good shepherd. He's never said he's going to take away that relationship. He doesn't say that in his word. But there are times when we've gone astray, that we've made our own way and we've made our own path and we've been disappointed. But thankfully, the good shepherd is always willing to still lead us and guide us. This morning, are you letting the Lord lead you? The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Do you know him today? And then that question about wanting, coveting, always desiring something else or a next thing. Ask yourself that question. Am I satisfied in what God has given me? Now, there's nothing wrong with getting new things. There's nothing wrong with finding pleasure and allowing the Lord to provide things for you. He cares for you. But at the same time, there is something wrong with coveting. There is something wrong with jealousy. There is something wrong with thinking you deserve something when God says, I don't want you to have that. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.